Bibles, go to the book of Genesis tonight, book of Genesis chapter number 6, and we'll do something I don't think I've ever done before. I don't think I've ever took half of a message and preached it, but that's about what we're doing tonight, and that's what the Lord has on my heart. I spent the greater part of Wednesday working on this message, and had a completely different theme. Went to preach at the nursing home today, and the Lord just showed me something completely different that I'd not even seen before, and so we're going to preach that this evening, and not a doubt that's what the Lord has to preach. Book of Genesis chapter number 6, if you find your place there, and stand when you find your place. Book of Genesis, chapter number 6. We'll pick up a reading, verse number 5. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." This is an amazing verse to me. The Bible said it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask him to meet with us tonight. Father, I surely love you. I'm so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord, and to open your word, God, and share with them what you put on my heart, God, and touch me. I pray that you meet tonight. I pray that you move in a special way. Pray that you touch every heart, God. Would you have your will and way? Lord, would you touch and help us? Lord, help us to leave talking about you, and we'll thank you for it. We ask it all in your name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. When we begin to think about Noah, there's several things that are special to me about Noah, and they just kind of stand out about his testimony, really. Noah had a testimony like nobody else, I believe, in the Bible. There's several things that are interesting about it. I'd say, first of all, that Noah had a clear registration. You say, what are you talking about? Well, the Bible said that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. Man, you begin to look at this chapter and just to dissect how wicked and how evil a time it was. I mean, this is an amazing time that they were living in these those days of just sin and wickedness on every hand. These are descriptions here like we don't find anywhere else in the Bible about how wicked that the earth was that Noah was living in. And what's interesting to me is that it's all generalized. As the Bible said that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. He didn't name a specific people group, and he didn't name a specific military organization or government or anything like that. This is a universal judgment on the earth. The Bible said God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 6, it says, "He repented, Lord, he had made man on the earth." And then in verse 7, he tells what he's going to do about it. The Bible said, "I will destroy man." So this is not something that's just a small select people group that has angered God and has got God's wrath. This is the world as a whole. And Noah by default is listed in this group. He is a part of that group. But we find here after this description in verse 5 through 7, a little space of grace here. The Bible said, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." In a time of injustice, Noah was a just man. In a time of incompleteness, Noah was a complete man and a whole man who walked with God. In a day of apathy, apostasy, and abomination, there's one man that was living for God. And that encourages me to know that no matter how bad it gets, no matter how wicked it gets, no matter how evil it may be, there is always a chance. There's always a chance to walk with God no matter the circumstances, no matter the conditions, no matter what's going on around us. We have no excuse for not walking with God. You say, "Preacher, why is that?" Because that grace that he finds didn't have anything to do with Noah. It's all the Lord's grace. You say, "Preacher, how am I going to stand for God in a day like this?" It's going to take the grace of the Lord on your life. You're saying, "God, I can't do it. God, I can't live for God in this generation, but if you'll help me. God, if you'll put your hand upon me, I promise that I want to stand for you." And it's interesting to me here that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was a clear difference between him and the rest of the world. In verse 11 here, it begins to go on some more and talk about this. The Bible said the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. The Bible said that God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And the Bible said, "And God said unto Noah." I thought it was interesting that he differentiated between the earth and between Noah. Because in God's eyes, there was something so different about Noah, he didn't even put him in the same category. He wasn't even on the same plane as the rest of the earth because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's an amazing statement to me. So Noah had a clear registration, but Noah had a clean record. As you begin to study your Bible, and you Bible students know this, there's not many people that make it through without having some blemish on their character. Everybody's got something. Joseph and Jesus are the only two men in the Bible we find with no blemish on their character. We're not told of any sin in the life of Joseph. But if you look at the life of Noah, Noah almost made that, if it wasn't for right after the flood, when he got drunk there in the vineyard. So you think about this wicked time, Brother Tim. I mean, it's an ungodly time, this horrible time. Noah made it through without one blemish on his record. There was nothing that God looked at and said, we can learn about from Noah here. All we needed to know was that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It just tells me again, there is no excuse. I have no excuse for living for God in the day that we're in. Noah had a clear record. But then I thought about this. Not only that, Noah had a custom reputation. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look at verse number 9 here. The Bible said, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and that there is pretty special in and of itself. But the Bible says this, and Noah walked with God. Amen. Something special about that, because there's only two men in your Bible that you'll find being told that they walked with God. We're not told that Jesus walked with God. We're not told that Abraham walked with God. There's two men in our Bible that we're told walked with God, and one of them is in chapter 5. The Bible says chapter 5, verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then in verse chapter 6 and verse number 9, we find that Noah walked with God. So Noah's great-grandfather, Enoch, and himself are the only two men in the Bible we find that are told that they walked with God. You say, preacher, how'd that turn out for Enoch? Well, Enoch, the Bible said that he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I'd say that worked out pretty good for him. You've all heard the story of the preacher saying that Enoch and God started walking, and God said, you know, it's closer to my house than it is to yours. Why don't you just come on with me? And that's exactly the way it worked out for Enoch. But we begin to look at Noah's life. I wonder how walking with God is working out for Noah. Man, when you begin to think about Noah, he's got a reputation not by nobody else we find in the Bible that he walked with God. Yeah. Noah had a clean record in a day when apostasy was rampant and when everything was every evil imaginable was taking place. Noah was walking with God. Right. In a day where it just seemed like there was nobody who'd be able to make it, Noah was walking for God. I wonder how it was turning out for him. The Bible said in verse 13, this is the first thing that we find God telling Noah. The first thing we're told is this, that the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And I was thinking about this. If I was Noah, I can't even imagine what would be going through my mind at this time. God, do you not remember who I am? God, do you not remember what all I'm doing for you? God, Peter's going to go on to say that I was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. I've been out here preaching and living for you. God, you're going to destroy me? God, you're going to destroy the earth after all I've done. God, I'm walking with you. Why is the earth going to get destroyed? God, I'm living for you and nobody else is. God, why do I have to go through this? Now begin to think about, can you imagine being in Noah's spot, living for God when nobody else would, and it just seems like God's forgotten you. Yes. Living for God when nobody else is paying any attention, and it seems like God says, well, that was for nothing. It's not going to get you anywhere. He said, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. But look at what he said in the next verse. He said, verse 14, he said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Verse 17, the Bible says this, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. He said this, but with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. The Bible said in verse 21, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Yeah. Preacher, I got to thinking about this afternoon while I was preaching, Noah walking with God when nobody else would. Noah living for God when nobody else cared. Noah trying his best to serve God, and it seems like God has turned his back on him. I got up to preach, and God said, God will take care of you. I want to preach for just a few minutes tonight on that thought, on God will take care of you. Because I cannot tell you the times that I've let the devil climb up in my lap and get on my shoulder and say, nobody sees what you're doing. God doesn't care about you. God's just going to let you go this time. God's not going to make a way. God's not going to come through. God's not going to provide. And if there'd ever been a man who needed God to come through, and if there'd ever been a man that it seemed like God had turned his back on him, I think it was Noah. But Noah's going to find out something about God's grace here in this story. You say, preacher, how do you know that God took care of him? I say that when you find what God planned for Noah. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Because before ever telling Noah how he was going to destroy the earth, he told him to build an ark. Yeah. He didn't tell him it was going to rain. He didn't tell them there's going to be the flood. He just said, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. What I'm trying to tell you is that Noah had no idea what was coming down the pipeline. And if God had told him, he said, I'm going to destroy the earth, you figure it out, I'm going to help you, Noah would have never made it. Noah would have had no idea where to go. He'd have had no idea what to do. And even if God had just told him it was going to rain, Noah would probably just build a house on the highest mountain he could find. He said, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you this, that sometimes God can see the end from the beginning, that we have no idea what's coming. And God says, if I just leave him to himself, there's no way he'll make it. And if he's left to himself, he's going to fall on his face. And if I don't help him, there's no way he'll ever get out of this alive. And God said, before I ever tell you what I'm going to do, Noah, hey, why don't we talk about this first? Why don't you just build you an ark? Why don't you just start getting some things ready? I've got a plan. I know it don't make any sense right now, and I know it doesn't seem to all come together right now, but God moves in mysterious ways. And sometimes God likes to take the things we don't understand. Sometimes the thing God tells us to do, and we say, Lord, that doesn't make any sense at all. Maybe because there's a flood coming down the road. And God said, if you'll just listen to me, if you'll just listen to me, I got a plan in mind. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? That God will take care of you, because I have no idea what's coming tomorrow. I know he holds my hand, but that's all I know. And if I have to make it on my own, I'm going to fall, I'm going to fail, and I'm going to, no way I'm going to make it. But if I trust God, he's never failed. The Bible said he hath made all things beautiful in his time. If I can just wait on his time and just follow him, do what I'm supposed to do today, he promised he'll make all things beautiful in his time. I'm thankful to know that God will take care of me when I can't see what's coming. When I have no idea what's coming down the pipeline, God is always taking care of us. You know what you better do? Just start building the ark. Whatever God's telling you to do, you better do it. Whatever God's putting on your heart, you better say, Lord, I don't understand a bit of it. It doesn't make any sense. And Lord, it really seems like you're failing me. God, I'll be honest, I don't think you've come through, really. But you better do what he's telling you to, because it may be he's got the rain coming. What God had planned for Noah. Not only that, I know that God took care of him because of what God prepared for Noah. As you begin to read about this ark here, Noah is not only supposed to build an ark for his family, he's supposed to build an ark to house all these animals. And that's interesting to me in and of itself, because the Bible tells us here, he said in verse 21, he said, and taken thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and food for them. And I was thinking about the fact that God wanted these animals on the ark with Noah. And I can understand that, because he didn't want them all to be extinct. He wanted to, you know, to preserve them. Really, I think it has something more to do with that, because if you turn to the next chapter, a few chapters over, in chapter 9 here, the Bible says, chapter 9 and verse 3, he said, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. Before the flood, they would eat the vegetation. They weren't meat eaters before the flood. And God said, I want you to bring all these animals to you, and you don't understand it now. I know it doesn't really make sense why you need all these animals now. But after the flood, you're going to be needing something to eat. Your family's going to need something to eat. So I know this doesn't really make sense, but what I want you to do is go build an ark. I know you don't know what rain is, but go build the ark. And then all these animals, I know you don't understand what I'm doing. Well, what I'm doing is I'm setting it up to take care of you and your kids and your grandchildren for the rest of time, if you'll just listen. God is taking care of him. What God is preparing for Noah. I thought about this. How in the world would I feel if God came to me and said, all right, Noah, or all right, Andrew, I want you to build an ark. And I said, okay, Lord, if I was all right with that. But then he said, I want you to get 2 of every unclean animal. And I want you to get 7 of every clean animal. So I want you to round them all up. Go find every one of them. Get them all together. Keep them happy. Keep them alive. Don't let any of them get sick and die. Get them all on the ark and keep them safe all the way there. There's no way in the world that I could do it. I mean, even if I knew, even if I wanted to, and I was saying, God, I'll do it if you'll help me, there's no way I could do that. He said, preacher, how in the world is God going to do it for Noah? This is impossible. Well, the Bible says this in verse number 18 of chapter 6. He said, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, who of every sort shalt thou bring in the ark to keep them alive with thee, they should be male and female. And if I'm Noah, I'm thinking, Lord, there's no way. This is never going to happen. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, 2 of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. When God gave Noah an impossible task, he said, you do the possible part, and I'll do the impossible part. There's no way in this world that Noah could ever get all those animals onto that ark. And God said, oh, you don't worry about that. You just build the ark. You just build the ark, and I'm going to take care of every bit of it. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this, that God will take care of the impossible things that he brings into your life. If he brought it into your life, it's there for a reason. Why would he give you something that you can't handle so that you can see him take care of every bit of it, start to finish. There's no way Noah could have ever done that. No way he could have ever brought those animals together. Couldn't if he wanted to. And God said, no, you just do the possible part. You just do what I've told you to do. I'm going to take care of the rest of every bit of it. I don't know about you. That helps me just to think about, man, can you imagine all them town scoffers out there? They've been making fun of Noah for 100 years. Start seeing them animals start trickling in. Man, maybe coming down Main Street or coming out of the backwoods, and they said, man, something's going on down that ark Noah's building. I can't imagine what's going on, what Noah's doing to bring all those animals in. Noah wasn't doing a thing. Noah's just doing what he's supposed to do, trusting God and believing that God was going to take care of every bit of it. God was taking care of his man. God was making it worth his while, what God has prepared for Noah. But then not only this, what God has provided for Noah. God brings all those animals in, they get on the ark. The Bible said in verse number 4 of chapter 7, he said, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. This is when God's telling Noah how he's actually going to destroy the earth. He said, of every living substance that I have made, will I destroy them from off the face of the earth. The Bible said, Noah did according to all the Lord had commanded him. Verse 12 said, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. What he's saying here is that God took care of everything. God brought everything in. There wasn't one thing missing. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. They that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The Bible said this, the flood was 40 days upon the earth. The waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift above the earth. Man, I can't even imagine just the relief that's in Noah's heart and in Noah's mind as God closes that door behind them, and they begin to rise on those flood waters. But what I begin to notice here is there's a word that appears over and over again in this end of this chapter. Anytime God says something that many times, I'm interested to know what the importance is. See if you notice it with me. The Bible said in verse number 18, that the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. Verse 19 again, the Bible said, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. Verse 20 says, 15 cubits upwards did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Then in verse 22, the Bible said, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And again, the Bible said, the waters prevailed upon the earth in 150 days. As I begin to think about that, I can't even imagine being in the ark. God shuts the door behind you. It begins to rain like it's never rained before, and all of a sudden it begins to rain, and it doesn't just stop raining. It rains for 40 days and for 40 nights without relief. It never even stops. And after that, the Bible says this, that the waters are just rising above all the mountains. It's 15 cubits high. The Bible says there's nothing left to see but water. And the Bible says over and over again that the waters prevailed. The waters prevailed. The waters prevailed. Verse 24 said the waters prevailed upon the earth. And so I got to begin looking at that word prevailed there. It means to overcome, just to overtake, to be stronger than, to be greater than. What God is trying to tell us here is that there is no shadow of a doubt that he's destroyed the world completely. I mean, everything is underwater. There is nothing that has escaped God's judgment whatsoever. The waters have prevailed. And in this space in Noah's life, there is nothing left but the waters of God's judgment. That's it. That's all that's left. They have overtaken everything. But in chapter 8, verse 1, in a day when God's judgment has overtaken everything, in a day when God's judgment is higher than anything else, the Bible says this, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. And I got to thinking, preacher, about how easy it would have been for God to just kind of tip him off to the side and let him go. There's nothing else left but water and God's judgment. How easy it would have been for God to just say, you know what, I destroyed everybody else. Let's just let Noah go. Let's just start over and let's just start fresh. Noah's going to mess up. Noah's going to fail. Let's just start over and get something better to work with. But in the midst of the waters prevailing over everything, God never forgot about his man that was stranded on that ark. And he wasn't stranded. He was right in the middle of God's hand. What I'm trying to tell you is when it seems like the waters have prevailed in every situation in life, when there is no escape, when there is no getting away from it, when it seems like the devil has got you for the final time and that God's not going to come through, that God knows exactly where we're at. God doesn't have any problem remembering where I'm at in the storm that I'm going through, because He's the one that showed me how to build the ark. He's the one that's directed the ark, and He sure as world knows exactly where His man is at. What I'm trying to tell you is that in the day of God's judgment, the day when everything was going wrong, God was taking care of His man. The Bible says this: not only did God remember Noah, God remembered every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. The Bible says that God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Not only did God just remember where Noah was at, God did something about it. And I'm glad to know that God knows where I'm at, but if that was all in you, Brother Gilreath, I wouldn't help me a whole lot. But the same God that sent the waters sent a wind to take care of every bit of that for Noah. And the same God that sends the judgment is the same God that gives mercy. The same God that knows I can't make it without Him is the same God that loves me enough to come down and pick me up and help me when I can't go on another mile. And the same God that destroyed the entire earth would not let one man who had served Him perish unlawfully. The same God that destroyed the earth because of their sin saved a man and his family because he walked with God. You say, "Preacher, I'm walking with God and it doesn't seem like it's doing anything. Preacher, I'm trying my best to live for God and the world's just wicked and the world's not helping me a bit." No, God knows exactly where we're at. God remembered Noah. God made a wind to pass over the earth. And the Bible said the waters assuaged. And the same God that sent the water sent a wind. But I thought it was interesting that we know here that the waters assuaged. It just means they kind of parted and they went back. The waters aren't gone yet. They're still going to be around for a while. The Bible said in verse number 2, "The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. And the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat." I began to think about how interesting it was that it perched him right on top of this mountain, Brother Sam. I mean, the whole earth is covered with water. And you think about just putting a stick in a stream and just watching that stick, man, just float off down that stream. There's no way to stop it, no way to control it, no way to take care of it at all. But the God that sent the wind made that wind send Noah just to the right place where it landed him safe right on top of that mountain. Because those waters were going to be going down for the next 150 days. And God said, "You know what? Noah's been in the rain long enough. Let's not leave him out here rocking on the ship on the ocean anymore. They're probably tired of being seasick and getting rocked around on these waves. Tell you what I'm going to do. The same wind that's going to drive these waters away, I'm going to take and put them exactly where they need to be to where they can send those doves out to be able to see if the land is dry yet." He said, "What are you saying?" I'm saying that God was taking care of his man. God cared about him too much just to leave him down there floating on the water while the waters went down. He said, "No, we'll pick him up and put him on top of that mountain and just let him rest there." The Bible said the ark rested in the seventh month. If there's anything Noah needed, it was rest. And God was taking care of his man there in that flood. God didn't even let him rock on the waves while they waited for the water to go down. And that's the kind of God that Noah had been living for all those days. He said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm trying to tell you this, that a lot of times the devil gets on my back. And he said, "Nobody knows what you're going through. God doesn't care. God's going to let you fall this time. He's not going to be able to come through. He's not going to be able to take care of you. This is the end. It's over. It's finished. God doesn't care about you. I mean, look at what always allowed into your life." But the same God that allowed those things is the same God that said, "Yeah, but I'm getting an ark ready. If you'll just listen to me, if you'll just follow me, if you'll just have enough faith to get out there and start building on that ark, if you'll just have enough faith to go out there and preach one more time, if you'll just do the possible part, I'll take care of the impossible part." God's never asked you to do the impossible. Just do the possible and let Him take care of all the rest of it. God's not asking you to do anything that you can't unless it's just to show you that you really can't and that you need Him more than anything else. Say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about a man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm talking about a man who walked with God when nobody else was. And if I was Noah, when God came to me, I'd say, "Well, it wasn't worth it. God, you failed me. God, you're going to destroy me?" No, no. God was getting an ark ready. God was taking care of him. When he got to the end, he said, "Preacher, what did Noah do after all of this?" Look at chapter 8, verse number 18. After all this time, over a year that they've been on this ark, the Bible said, "And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him. Every beast and every creeping thing and every fowl and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. Took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar." You say, "Preacher, what do you say?" I'm just saying that God took care of his man, and when it was all said and done, Noah wasn't upset with how God did it. Noah was not bitter in his heart about God sending him through a flood. Matter of fact, he said, "No, he said, let me build an altar. And those animals that I'm going to need for food in my future, he said, I'm going to take some of those and offer them to the God that is taking care of me. The God that has come through for me when the waters came down, he sent the wind. The God that came through for me when everything else was failing, when everything else was falling apart, the God that took care of me. And I don't really have anything special, anything fancy to tell you other than this, that God will take care of you. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to its riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God hadn't supplied all my wants. He hasn't and He won't. But I've never had a need that God has not supplied. I was praying about something a while ago and God said, yeah, I said, but it's because that's a want. You've never had a need that I didn't supply. There has never been a need. I'm sure Noah didn't want to go through the flood like this. If he could pick, I'm sure that's not the way he'd want to go. But God knew what he needed, and God supplied his needs. I'm thankful to know tonight that God will take care of you. Just keep on walking with God. Just keep on living for God. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Keep on preaching and keep on singing and keep on giving out those tracts, because God will take care of you. Amen.